So we left Beirut, Willa and I. He headed east to Baghdad and the rest of it. I set out north for home. I walked the 5 or 6 miles to the last of the street lamps and hunkered in the curbside dusk, holding out my thumb in no great hope at the ramshackle procession of homebound traffic. Success. An ancient Mercedes Dolmush, the ubiquitous Arab shared taxi, drew up. I turned out my pockets and shrugged at the driver. J'ai pas de l'argent. Venez, a soft voice from the back seat. Driver leant wearily across and pushed open the back door. I stooped to look inside at the two men there. One, besuited, bespectacled, moustached, irritated, distant, late. The other, the one who had spoken, frail, 55-ish, bald, sallow, in a short-sleeved, pale blue cotton shirt with one baro in the breast pocket. A clerk, maybe, slightly sunken in the seat. Venez, he said again, and smiled. Mais j'ai pas de l'argent. Oui, oui, d'accord, venez.
Are these the people that we should bomb? Are we so sure they mean us harm? Is this our pleasure, punishment or crime?
Is this a mountain that we really want to climb?
The road is hard, hard and long. Put down that 2x4, this man will turn you from his door.
Together like a child waving goodbye. The driver put my old Hofner guitar in the boot with my rucksack and off we went. Vous êtes français, monsieur? No, anglais. Ah, anglais. Est-ce que vous parlez anglais, monsieur? Non, je regrette. And so on, in small talk between strangers. His French, alien but correct, mine halting but eager to please. A lift, after all, is a lift. Late moustache left us brusquely, and some miles later the Dolmush slowed at a crossroads lit by a single light bulb, swung through a U-turn and stopped in a cloud of dust. I opened the door and got out, but my benefactor made no move to follow. The driver dumped my guitar and rucksack at my feet and, waving away my thanks, returned to the boot, only to reappear with a pair of alloy crutches, which he leant against the rear wing of the Mercedes. He reached into the car and lifted my companion out, only one leg, the second trouser leg neatly pinned beneath the vacant hip.
Monsieur, si vous voulez, sera un honneur pour nous si vous venez avec moi à la maison pour manger avec ma femme.
When I was 17, my mother, bless her heart, fulfilled my summer dream. She handed me
the keys to the car.
We motored down to Paris Fuel with Dexedrine and booze. Got busted on teeth by the cops and fleeced in Naples by the whoops. But everyone was kind to us. We were the English dudes. Our dads had helped them win the war when we all know
what we were fighting for.
But now an Englishman abroad is just a U.S. stooge. The bulldog is a poodle, sniffing round the scoundrel's last refuge.
Ma femme, thank God, monopod but not queer.
The taxi drove off, leaving us in the dim light of the swinging bulb. No building in sight. What the hell?
Merci, monsieur. Bon, venez.
His face creased in pleasure, he set off in front of me, swinging his leg between the crutches with agonizing care up the dusty side road into the darkness. After half an hour, We'd gone maybe half a mile when on the right I made out the low profile of a building. He called out in Arabic to announce our arrival, and after some scuffling inside, a lamp was lit, and the changing angle of light in the wide crack under the door signaled the approach of someone within. The door creaked open, and there, holding a biblical-looking oil lamp, stood a squat, moustached woman, stooped, smiling up at us. She stood aside to let us in, and as she turned, I saw the reason for her stoop. She carried on her back a shocking hump. I nodded and smiled back at her in greeting, fighting for control. The gentleness between the one-legged man and his monstrous wife almost too much for me.
Is gentleness too much for us? Should gentleness be filed? Along with empathy, we're filled for someone else's child. Every time a smart bomb does its sums and gets it wrong,
someone else's child dies, and equity is in defense rights.
America, America, please hear us when we call. You got hip hop, bebop, hustle, bustle. You got Atticus Finch, you got Jay Russell. You got freedom of speech, you got great beaches, wildernesses and malls. Don't
let the might of the Christian right fuck it all up for you and the rest of the world.
I talked excitedly. She went to take his crutches in routine of care. He, chiding, gestured. We have a guest. She, embarrassed by her faux pas, took my things and laid them carefully in the corner. Doute. We sat on meager cushions in one corner of the single room. The floor was earth, packed hard, and by one wall a raised platform, some 6 feet by four, covered by a single sheet, the bed. The hunchback busied herself with small copper pots over an open hearth and brought us tea, hot and sweet, and so to dinner. Flat, unleavened bread, wafer thin, cooked in an iron skillet in half, then folded and dipped into the soft insides of female sea urchins. My hostess did not eat. I ate her dinner. She would hear of nothing else. I was their guest. Then she retired behind a curtain and left the men to sit drinking thimbles full of arak, carefully poured from a small bottle with a faded label. Soon she reappeared, radiant, carrying in her arms their pride and joy. Their child. I had never seen a squint like that. So severe that as one eye looked out, the other disappeared behind its nose.
Not in my name, Tony, you great war leader, you terrorist or terror, whosoever gets to frame the rules. History is not written by the vanquished or the damned. Now where our game is gone, Lucretia Borgia, son of Sam. In 1961 they took this child into their home. I wonder what became of them in the cauldron that was Lebanon. If I could find them now, could I make amends? How does the story end?
And so to bed. Me, that is. Not them. Of course, they slept on the floor behind a curtain, whilst I lay awake all night on their earthen bed. Then came the dawn, and then their quiet stirrings, careful not to wake the guest. I yawned in great pretense, and took the proffered bowl of water heated up, and washed and sipped my coffee in its tiny cup. And then, with much merci, bowing and shaking of hands, we left the woman to her chores, and we men made our way back to the crossroads, the painful slowness of our progress accentuated by the brilliant morning light. The dawnish duly reappeared. My host gave me one crutch, and leaning on the other, shook my hand and smiled.
Merci, monsieur, I said. De rien. Et merci à votre femme. Elle est très gentille. Giving up his other crutch, he allowed himself to be folded into the back seat again. Bon voyage, monsieur, he said, and half bowed as the taxi headed south towards the city. I turned north, my guitar over my shoulder, and the first hot gust of wind quickly dried the salt tears from my young cheeks.